Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Bob Moyo, Linjan.
How are you?
Siyaphila nathi akula lutho. Good to have you this afternoon. I hope you've had a good day.
No, very good day. How about you?
No, I've had a fantastic day. Can't complain at all. Yeah, now where we talk about a revelation of Jesus who lives to save us. And of course, as we have learned over the past few lessons, the Old Testament sacrifices were presented, presented the death of Christ as our sacrifice. Now, the work of the priests represented his ministry as our high priest, a priest in heaven. Now, my elder, what does it mean that Jesus is our high priest in heaven? What is his day-to-day activity or work in the heavenly temple?
So that's actually a very interesting one when we look at that Jesus as our high priest. It's really more like an intercessor, if I can put it that way. Someone who steps in between two parties, one who stands in the place, in the gap, and especially when we say high priest, we're talking about standing in the gap between man and God, between us and our Father who is in heaven. And so what he does is he, and what that looks like really on a day to day, and even as he is there, even right now, I think the best way to go to it is to, if we go to our Bibles, we actually see in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. But I think the best way to look at it would be from Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, when we're talking about what he does on a daily basis, or what he does in heaven for us right now. Hebrews 7:25. May you have that one close by?
All right, let me just quickly look at it. Hebrews 7:25.
7:25, yes.
All right, let's see.
And that one should actually tell us exactly what it is that he is doing for us even now in the heavenly sanctuary, as he stands in there for us as our high priest.
Okay, I got it. You said 1:25, eh?
7:25, actually.
Oh, sorry, 7:25.
If I had said 1, then that was my mistake. I meant to say
10. All right, no, that's fine. Number 25 says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them.
Exactly. He always lives to intercede for us. And so that's why I was saying that as a high priest, his duty or his role is to intercede or to stand in the gap between us and God. And that's from the reason why there is that gap in the first place is because of sin. And because of sin, that's what separates us from our Lord or our Father. And yet he steps in the gap to say, well, even though sin came in, I will pay that price. And I have paid that price, that they may be reconciled with us and with our, and that we may be reconciled with God, our Father.
Is this what the earthly priest was doing? Since this is a type situation.
Yeah. So I like how you said right in the introduction that the in the earthly sanctuary and what was going on in the tabernacle and even in the. What do they call this in the temple was this of the high priest would put the sacrifice on the altar that we may be able so that there was an atonement or rather that sacrifice would be put forward as a price for sin, because the Bible does say and the Lord does say that sin is and the wages of sin is death. But then Christ steps in just as the picture is given in the temple where there was those sacrifices without blemish. Remember that these sacrifices that were given, especially for the sins of people, was without blemish, without scar, or because the temptation may be to give, the sickly lamb or the sickly one. But then the idea behind that was the idea why God said, no, it should be a perfect one without blemish, was to represent Christ, the one who came into this world that is full of sin and yet was found and tempted in every way, yet found without sin. And so we have this lovely verse in the Bible that actually says that he ever lives to intercede for us. And we have a high priest who is not one of those ones who stands in there and doesn't even know what it is like to live in a world like this, but he is touched by our infirmities because he lived on this earth as well. And yet, though he was tempted in all ways, was found without sin.
Interesting. Now, you know, does this mean that he is, you know, effectively begging a reluctant father, you know, to forgive us? I mean, is his father willing to actually forgive us? Is he eager, you know, to condemn us? Because, I mean, he's begging his dad to say, "Dad, please, I beg you to forgive these guys." It looks like his father is actually quite eager to condemn us. What's the situation there?
That does sound like, I mean, that could be the way we could assume it to be, that the reason why Jesus has to step in is because he has to convince his father. He has to convince the father that, you know, you have to, please, for my sake. And like, he's kind of twisting the father's arm. But no, actually, when you look at the Bible, where it actually does say that for God so loved the world that he gave, that's not that God so loved the world that he forced his only son. No. Or that he's forced by his only son. No, that he gave his only son, that those who those who believe in him and believe in his sacrifice, his life, his death, and his resurrection for our sake may not die, but will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not that he has to be twisted into this. No, it's the idea that, and actually when you look through the Bible, it is God's love that has compelled him as well to actually, he strives for us. He's not forced into wanting us at all. Oh no, I was going to say that, you know, this is one of those things that we kind of think, could it be that we forced his hand? And no, we didn't force his hand. Neither does Jesus force the hand of his father. And remember that this is for the entire world. This is for everyone, not for an exclusive group, yeah?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Now, you know, the lesson also tells us that Christ is also pleading with humanity, you know, to accept his sacrifice. Now, I really need to understand, what does that mean? And how do we accept that sacrifice?
That's an interesting one. I'll answer the first part first, as to does it look like, I mean, is it pleading with us? When we look at the Bible and we see when sin first entered the world, where Adam and Eve had sinned, there's an interesting picture that we see where the Father, where the Lord comes into, where God comes into the garden after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit, and he comes into the garden and he says, "Where are you?" He's the one who comes to them. And he's the one who seeks them out. But naturally, we want to run away from God. Naturally, because of sin, we want to run away because we are naked, if I can put it that way. We are ashamed. And yet, God strives to actually come towards us. And he says, no, I want, the same way that that God had the temple and built the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was because he wanted to dwell among his people. And even today, he still calls out to us, because naturally we don't want to. But then when we see the love of God, when we are exposed to the love of God, that also coaxes us towards him. But, you know, that's not forced upon us, yeah? If I may use an example, I hope that's okay.
That's all right, that's all right.
There's an example that comes to mind of, I believe it's Andrew Jackson, 7th president of the United States.
Right.
There was a man named George Wilson who had committed some heinous crimes, and he was actually going to pay the penalty for those crimes. And as he's in jail and there are other people around, and his friends actually say that, but no, he doesn't deserve to die. I mean, yes, I mean, that's what he deserves, but can we ask the President Jackson, maybe he can give him some mercy. Maybe he can pardon him. And so his friends pleaded, and Andrew Jackson actually said, you know what, looking at his case, and not because he's worth it, but or that he's deserving, but I will pardon this man.
Mm-hmm.
This man, George Wilson, who had now been offered this pardon, he refused it. And it's very strange, though, but then he actually said, no, I don't want the pardon. And at that point, the court had to say, well, okay, what do we do? Can someone be forced to take their pardon? And what if someone refuses their pardon, their presidential pardon?
Mm.
And at that point, they had to say, well, we don't see any way in which the court can refuse, I mean, can force a man to take the pardon offered to him. And so it actually applies to this case as well. Christ offers peace and forgiveness to all. But remember, that's him offering it. It is our choice whether we want to take that pardon or not. We still have free will in this matter, and God will not force his grace upon us.
Yeah, indeed. Now, tell us, you know, I understand that story of George Wilson that you've just shared, etc., etc. What is the essence then of the lesson, at the very center of the lesson? Does it mean that Christ does nothing else except to just, live for interceding in our behalf?
So there's interceding on our behalf, and there is, and to put it quite honestly, maybe we shouldn't even put a small price on that. But along with that, remember that there is, when you talk about the interceding, and maybe I can put it this way when we're wrapping up all of this, is this idea that Christ stands in the gap between and brings us closer to God, but also brings God closer to us. The way in which he coaxes, or should I say, I want to use the word woo, but I feel like that's a very strange word to use.
Yeah, but true.
He draws us closer to the Father as well. And I mean, he draws us closer to himself. And not only does he, his role is not only to just sit back and intercede. No, he's actively interceding, as in advocating and actually bringing us towards him. And if I may be able to put it this way, it's not about just laying back and saying, okay, I've given you an offer. It's more like he goes out of his way to make sure that we know this offer is there. And multiple times, not even just one time, but on multiple occasions and so many ways and in so many circumstances, he makes sure that there is no, that at the end of the day, there is no excuse to be able to say, but I never knew that the Lord had given me a way out, or to do right, or to be able to find him. After all, the Lord actually says that if we seek him, we will find him, and if we search for him with all our hearts. But remember that even searching for him, we don't do it alone. He helps us to search for him. So it's not just sitting back and interceding. It's an active interceding, if I may put it that way.
Yeah. Beautiful, a parting shot there. I do want to thank you so much, my elder, for coming through. Blessings to you, and of course, blessings to the listeners who have been able to receive this message. I think we're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow, same time.
Yes, we will. And thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Thank you.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.